The text is the gospel reading from Matthew 18. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his guilt just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Here ends the text. Can anything improve the ambiance of church discipline? Two things change tones, elevate moods, sweeten things up: perfume and music. The first is in the text. The second I'm bringing to it as church discipline meets classic rock. Take the Hollies' 1969 song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. That song applies to church discipline in that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. But contrary to the song, they are heavy. Note that Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, not you all, but thou, you, singular. Peter Chrysostom, a 5th century bishop of the church, brings in the idea of smell here. In the unity of the body is a sweet odor, he says, but when sin creates a separation, it's like cutting open a body. From the separation of the viscera, there is a foul, fatal, and fearful aroma. He is heavy, but he's still your brother. That's what Jesus says. You go to your brother. You seek to gain your brother. He's not yet a pagan or tax collector. Paul picks up on this in 2 Thessalonians 3. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Yes, his sin means he's standing outside the body of Christ. The tear in the body does produce the foul smell, but he has not yet left it. Go, and unlike last week's text, it's not the word show, but convict, refute, rebuke your brother with the idea of winning him. In last week's text, Jesus said gaining the whole world wouldn't be worth your soul. This week, he says you can gain your brother by rebuking him. The world does not believe this. The world believes I'm okay, you're okay. As long as your conscience doesn't bother you, whatever you're doing cannot be wrong. The world says whatever consenting adults do, that's okay with God. And it's not your business anyhow. Yes, that's what Cain thought. He wasn't his brother's keeper. He was, and he was also his brother's killer. And leaving a brother or sister in Christ in unconfessed sin is killing them. Unconfessed sin is not inert. It doesn't lay dormant. David's unconfessed sin of adultery and murder led to his bones wasting away and his groaning all day long. Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. Look where Judas confessed, but unforgiven sin led him to the end of a rope. How about Peter? Bitter tears and repeatedly reliving his denial of Jesus. Music can change the mood, the tone, the scene. I'm thinking Simon and Garfunkel's 1970 Bridge Over Troubled Waters. We've seen that unconfessed sin cups up the body of Christ, but the first division is between God and man. Adam sins, and what does he do? He becomes ashamed and he hides from God. Read the book of Isaiah. After the great chapters about the servant of the Lord, Jesus, after the great ones about him carrying your grief and sorrows, after his being whipped, lashed, and beaten, body heals your body, you come to chapter 59. There it says, listen to me. The Lord's arm is not too short to save, and his ear is not too deaf to hear. No, it is your guilt that has separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden God's face from you so that he does not hear. Rebuking a brother is crossing the bridge, the divide that his unconfessed sin has created between God and him and him and you. But we cross it not because we're so holy and loving and kind. We cross it because God in Christ first did. He's the one who sings with Simon and Garfunkel, "I'm on your side when times get tough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down." And he crossed it for all Jesus did. Listen to Paul preach in Colossians 2. "Even when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving us all our trespasses. God erased the record of our debts brought against us by his legal demands. This record stood against us, but he took it away by nailing it to the cross." As loath as I am to refer to a Kenny Chesney song, that right there is the good stuff. In that 2003 song, Kenny learns from a bartender that the good stuff is not found in a bottle. No, the good stuff is the love between people. And that's as high as the world can go. Don't get me wrong, the scripture goes here too. Read Psalm 133. It's short. Then you'll understand the expression, "like Aaron's beard." The unity of brothers is good, pleasant, and aromatic, like the oil that sanctifies Aaron's beard. And we saw that Peter Chrysologus found sweetness in the unity of brothers. But it doesn't start there. No, the good stuff starts with Jesus, who he is and what he does. He's an aroma. Paul says the suffering, sighing, bleeding, and dying with which Jesus crosses the gulf created by our sin and sinfulness is the sweet aroma of salvation and life to those being saved. But to those perishing, all that Christ is and does stinks. It's the odor of death. What's that smell? Coming from the baptismal font. If it's stagnant, stale water, it's not the water of forgiveness to you. What's that smell coming from this pulpit? If it's the smell of garbage, dead words, decayed religion, keep on walking. No life for you here. What's that smell coming from this altar? Because I'm wiping the communion rail with vinegar because of COVID-19. You smell vinegar, and that's not bad. If it reminds you of what it cost Jesus to give you his blood here as sweet-smelling wine for everlasting life, then take a deep breath and live. But if all you smell is vinegar, his wine is soured for you. You neither want nor think you need his blood for forgiveness. Understand, I'm not talking about anyone else but me and you. First, we have to see Jesus laying himself down as the perfect keeper of the law, as the perfect sacrifice for sin, death, and devil, to walk all over him till every last sin was paid for. Then he's a bridge upon which God comes to us. And that brings us to 1969 again in Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline. Look this one up on YouTube. He changed the signature chorus for COVID-19. He changed it from "hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you." He changed it to "hands washing hands, reaching out, don't touch me, I won't touch you." I can't tell from the video if he's being serious or funny. But I do know this whole matter of touch and not touching is real significant. The older folks have been isolated for a half a year from their loved ones. All report the isolation is the hardest. From 13th century Emperor Frederick II's supposed studies on infants raised in isolation, to Harry Harlow's 1930 study on rhesus monkeys, to the 1944 U.S. experiment on 40 newborns where their caregivers touched the babies as little as possible, all proved that touch was important. In that last study, it was halted after only 4 months because half the babies died. The high-tech world was quickly seen to work against touch. Already in 1982, John Nesbitt coined the term "high touch" over against high tech. Today, business advertises that they are high tech and high touch. The Holy Christian Church has always been high touch. We believe in one baptism, one application of water on the skin for the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the communion of saints, people sharing a common thing together, that being Jesus' body and blood. We believe in an absolution where the mouth of one person transmits into the ears of another forgiveness of sins. When I individually absolve someone, I make sure they can feel my hand on their head. No forgiveness comes through my hand, but touch sure does. We find Jesus touching the man full of leprosy. We find Jesus spitting, making mud, and rubbing in it on eyes and into ears. He sighs so a deaf and mute man can feel his chest heave in sympathy. Several years ago, I played off Garth Brooks' song, Rodeo, where he sings of bulls and blood, dust and mud, applying it to the flesh and blood ministry of Christ. I was amazed how many people that touched. And this text on church discipline is high touch. Here again, the last line of it. Jesus says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." The incarnate Christ, the flesh and blood Jesus, is present when even two or three gather in his name. There, right there, he is present on earth to bind and loose sins. But he went to the cross to loose sins, not to bind them. He kept the law to loose sins. He bled, cried, was damned, and died, not to bind your sins, but to loose them. He rose from the dead, proclaiming not the binding of the world's sins, but the forgiving of them. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been doing it in a high-touch way. In the way Neil Diamond sang originally, hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. From hand to hand, from mouth to ear, from hand to head, the forgiveness won in 30 AD comes down personally to you in 2020. You know, we don't do here the sharing of the peace, which is supposed to be the modern version of the kiss of peace. Read my explanation to the divine service on our webpage, or there's a print copy in back, for what the kiss of peace originally was and meant. We don't share the peace here because it has always struck me as forced. But we do share the peace of God that passes all human understanding. That's what keeps us together here. That's what keeps us coming back here, whether in person or remotely. That's what makes us notice when peace is broken by sins in doctrine or practice. That peaceful, easy feeling of the forgiveness of sins in Christ is what drives us to heal such breaches. In a 2006 sermon, I referred to what the Russians called the feel of cloth. Their soldiers marched shoulder to shoulder into battle because they drew strength from that touch. It made the fear less intense. I remember sitting shoulder to shoulder in a C-130 plane flying to make my first parachute jump. I didn't know that term, feel of cloth, but I felt it. I was glad for it. I remember the first time I jumped from a helicopter, missing it, because you didn't sit that close to the other shoulder. And there was no really proper way for one soldier to scoot over to another just to get close. There is for brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to the music. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.